Hi, everyone. Are we live? Well,
hopefully.
If we are, welcome to Friday Night Live with your hosts, Ben and me, Rob. We're investigative researchers who look into topics the mainstream media can't or won't report on. And then we share what we find with all of you. Plus, we do a lot of joking around in the process. And yes, I'm reading fast because we need to get into this.
Yeah, we sure do. And we are live, by the way, on Rise finally. So, well, the FTX scandal keeps heating up with new and strange revelations about the famous crypto collapse. And Trump and Carrie Lake are making headlines, leaving everyone wondering if they're going to run together in 2024. And from American to global news, this week was meme-worthy enough to warrant a montage throughout tonight's show.
So join us for the Friday Night Live, which you already are. Plus Rise TV exclusives, a dig deep Q&A segment, and then the top 10 weirder news of the week. Might be top 5 today, honestly.
Yeah, we're definitely like a half hour late, so right. We'll see.
Anyway, you're not going to believe over there on Rise.TV the stories we have about Area 51, a sea monster caught on tape, Bigfoot, strange animals, and more that we're going to share. But for now, let's start talking about the big news items this week, like Ligma and Johnson. Here we go. You all missed it before. We got into a conversation about Ligma and Johnson and the most epic troll we've probably ever seen on Twitter. And it was this picture of Elon Musk with two employees that he apparently rehired after firing. That was what everyone thought.
Well, the smart people knew what was going on.
Exactly.
So, dude, this is like absolutely hilarious. So, okay, we're going to play this video, and this is the funniest thing I have seen all week, I have to admit.
I mean, what do you think this is about? Is it because he has created such a poor working environment and has ruined the relationship between him and his employees so much that he's not able to do the job? Because I saw him, he was tweeting out pictures of him standing with two employees who he had fired prematurely and then rehired with his arms around them, kind of like, hey, I know I shouldn't admit to my mistakes. It seems like he's in a desperate situation where he's realized he actually needs somebody, and the single genius myth is just that, a myth, and he actually needs these employees to work with him. And the employees didn't look so happy in that photograph, I gotta say. I mean, what is this about? Is it because he has created
It's so funny. I just can't. I mean, this is like epic trolling from, I mean, you can't get,
well, what's spectacular about this is that these are journalists.
Yeah.
That are supposed to know stuff like this and corroborate it before they start reporting on it. And they're just talking about how bad of an environment Elon Musk is creating. Meanwhile, these dudes never worked at Twitter. They ended up trolling the media in the first place by going out there with their boxes as if they were fired Twitter employees. No one knew that they weren't really fired. They got interviewed. They started talking. The mainstream media put it everywhere. Meanwhile, the dude's name was Ligma, which is like a famous, funny internet meme about like a gaming internet meme. And then this guy, Johnson.
Well, if you put it, I'm not going to say, but if you put it together, it says something. And then it's just this inside joke. And it's more this meme. And no one figured it out. The media is just talking about it. And then they're like, oh, wait, this is really dumb. And it's just hilarious. And then Cat Turd had this hilarious meme. And he says, okay, this is major league trolling with two legendary trolls and inviting them back to troll the original fools who got owned by the trolls. Congratulations, Elon Musk. You're close to cat turd level trolling. Welcome to the big times.
That's great.
It's just so.
And this is great. He's saying like, it's important to admit when I'm wrong, and firing them is truly one of my biggest mistakes. And there's, if you read through the comments on here, it's so funny because people are like, don't get that he's trolling them and they're trying to fire back at him. You know, like they just, maybe it's bots. I don't even know. But it's like people really hating on Elon. And meanwhile, he's trolled them this entire time. It's great.
And then what makes it even like more hilarious is the Ligma guy, and he's just like very like serious, you know. He's just like,
yeah. They're like, saying like, oh, he looks really happy to be back. Meanwhile, yeah. that's his character, you know.
And he's wearing shorts on top of it. It's like so perfect. And then he's got his name tag just stuck in the middle of his chest. I mean, it's so
cool. Raul Ligma was his name, yeah. Raul Ligma. So good.
I guarantee you, Elon offered them jobs, though. I would have. If it was me, it's like, okay, these guys, obviously, we can trust them. They're geniuses. If there was something
those guys could do. Or yeah. Just like maybe, you know, maybe it would be even wiser for Twitter to hire them as like chief trolling officers. And, you know, meme these guys come up with ways. No, really. It's like you have like a little like round table of people and coming up with ways to troll the haters. And like they'd be perfect for it, right? Because they've executed one spectacular troll already.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee you. I guarantee you, Elon's probably thinking like, I don't know what we can do yet, but we're gonna hire you guys and we'll figure out something.
Yeah, you get them, the Babylon Bee, and a couple of others on a board, and you guys talk every week about what you can do. You know?
Oh man, it's funny stuff. Genius. So genius.
And that's really cool that that Elon brought the Babylon Bee back. He brought the Babylon Bee back. He also brought Kathy Gifford back, which I think was a smart move to do alongside some of these people, some of these other, you know, accounts that he's been bringing back on. Because honestly, like, as much as I don't agree with what she did, you know, like holding Trump's head up with the blood and all of that, it's like, it's not like she actually killed someone or anything. You know, it's like, she's just a dummy.
The only problem,
can be a dummy if she wants, but
I mean, the problem is, though, is that in real life, like even mentioning threatening a president would get you locked up.
I agree with you, right? But I'm talking about strategy-wise with Elon.
No, it's true, though.
Not a bad idea, because if you're going to bring someone back, it's like you've brought back someone that like...
Oh, they Kathy think, Griffin, not Kathy Gifford.
Whatever, Kathy Griffin. Yeah. Gifford is Gifford was from the Kathy Lee and Regis show. Anyway, Griffin.
Yeah. I always get the two of them mixed up too. So,
wow, Elon looks a little crazy there, but maybe they just caught him at a bad.
No. They specifically wanted to use that photo to make him look crazy.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. No, well, they were specifically looking for photos of you know, they could have very easily used. I mean, I know working in media, that's kind of what you do, and you. You know, it's like, oh, I have to find a photo of Obama. Maybe I'll like, I mean, I've been there, so.
Okay.
Well, yeah, obviously I'm not going to like.
What do you think about him not bringing Trump back on? Like, do you think that that's cool or not? Or I know you don't think it's cool, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to consider here. And I know like everyone's up in arms. Like, why aren't you bringing Trump back? For one, Trump said, even if you reinstated him, he's not going to use Twitter. And also, you know, there could be a business thing going on here where Trump might have even told him, like, hold off for right now. You know, but also it's so incredibly polarizing, like bringing Trump back on. I mean, he would be like enemy number one of the deep state right now if he did bring Trump back on. And the thing is, I think they're what they fear is all the stuff Trump posted before. Think about it. Like, we would see everything right after the election of Trump's Twitter, you know, from 2020. And then everything leading up to that, and then see everything that he's been posting. And then, dude, everybody would be sharing this all across Twitter. And there's nothing they can do about it because Elon owns Twitter. So I think that's their ultimate fear. But Trump doesn't even need to use it. If they just reactivated his account, everyone's just going to be sharing old tweets of Trump everywhere. So I think that's kind of cool in itself. But I mean, Trump, you know, he's got too much money invested in True Social now. He's not going to want to like backtrack and start using Twitter.
I disagree. Here's what I think. I think Elon is easing into bringing Trump back. I think Elon intends to bring Trump's account back, whether Trump uses it or not, just out of principle, just out of the freedom of speech principle. You know, he posted earlier that that Twitter would work like the rest of the internet, essentially, where if somebody posts a hateful post, it's not going to be promoted and it's not going to reach people. But if you search specifically for that post, you may still find it. So it'll work like the rest of the internet. Mm-hmm. However, you know, like, who's to say what a hateful post is? Like, people are calling any post that a Republican or a conservative makes is a hateful post when it's just a post. It's not hateful, you know. But I think with Elon, he's already brought a group of people back. So I think he's easing everyone into the fact that he intends on bringing Trump back, whether Trump wants to use it or not. Personally, I have a lot of thoughts about this. I think Truth Social has been a failure. Truth Social has largely been a failure just because of overwhelming organization in arranging an app like that. I think too, it has only brought on like a gigantic amount of hardcore conservatives, right wingers, like hardcore right wingers, and it's a very big echo chamber. And if Trump wanted to actually speak to people, and if he wanted to actually start like leveraging and controlling the media again, he would have to get onto a platform, a town square with new management where he could actually do that. The game has changed a little bit. And I do think that he would, at some point, maybe not right away, he would realize that the benefit outweighed the, you know, the drawbacks of not being on Twitter. Like, he would get back on and he would use it to great effect for his campaign. So I do think that eventually he'll get back on, but I think, you know, look at it. Elon just posted a poll just now. Should we bring Trump back onto Twitter? And guaranteed the poll is going to be overwhelmingly yes. Right.
Like, oh, why, yeah, you're right. He just posted it. Wow. Yeah.
So
there's a million votes so far and 62% people said yes.
Of course. And, you know, probably the 40 whatever percent it is says no. And they're probably bots, honestly, still. Like, we have no idea how many bots are still on there.
Click on yes, Lindsay.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, with Truth Social here, like, speaking of Truth Social, like, I wish, you know, it isn't as easy to use. Somebody just mentioned in our chat. That's true. And it's also, not. It's like, you can't do direct messaging on there. Mm-hmm. It's just slightly clumsy, and they unfortunately didn't. They should have held back in releasing it and got all of their stuff worked out before they released it. And then once they did, it just was like too much, too overwhelming. You know, I don't think this is David Nunes' fault necessarily, but also, like, you just don't get a lot of, like, and Twitter is hard too. Twitter is hard to use too, but you really, like, you're just caught in a gigantic echo chamber. Everybody's saying the same things. Nobody's following other people. There's all these weird, like, truth trains that they do. Like, it's a difficult app, and it's in a difficult environment. You know, there does need to be something that's like the town square, I think. And I think with Elon leading Twitter, you know, we're in better position. You know, I think Trump will definitely come back.
Yeah. Interesting. So Elon posted after that tweet, he posted in Latin. I'm Vox Puli and Vox Dia. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but it means voice of the people is what it means in Latin. So.
Well, both of them mean that?
Yeah.
It's no, like voice. A means voice of God.
Oh, so it's voice of the people, voice of God.
I think because.
The voice of the people is the voice of God.
Yeah. Okay.
Is what it means.
Interesting.
So vox, voice, people, voice, day is God, day, deity.
Interesting. I didn't know that. So that's pretty cool. So I guess we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, it's a good way of doing it. Just like, what do you guys want? You know, we'll just work.
If you think about it, Ben, like, he really has not wasted any time and like changing things and terraforming that environment the way that he wants to. Like, mm-hmm. unfortunately, you know, this really doesn't solve the bigger problem that we have, which is election fraud. But at least there's some hope in actually having a voice out there still, you know, for, at least for the time being. You know, will that change? I don't know, but
I know it's going to be interesting. And, you know, it's like he's all for democracy. And I think this is a great way of doing it. It's like, well, don't get angry at me. You guys are the ones that voted, you know? So I think this is actually a great way of doing it. So, all right.
Well, we were going to get into FTX, but before we do, we should probably tell everyone that we're running a promotion for 15% off of our merch on Teespring. Use code FTX15 and get Edge of Wonder gear like corporations control the media, follow the money with that nice little design. You know the one, the more you know. Pretty cool. And our classic Edge of Wonder logo and so much more. 15% off until Tuesday night. So take advantage of that. Get your Edge of Wonder t-shirt today.
It's so funny. And yeah, and now we're going to go into a trailer. And then when we get back, we're going to get into some of the new information coming out about FTX.
While we're on the trailer, Ben, I want you to tell me what Ligma Johnson means. Okay, hit the trailer.
A vast secret history. A lost ancient civilization. An empire they tried to erase. Tartaria's hidden past is just as fictional as Atlantis. Or is it? Humanoid giants. Magical creatures that shouldn't exist. Dogmen. Centaurs. Magicians and evil spirits. Why did the Soviet communists remove all traces of Tartaria from their books? Why was it so important to wipe Tartaria off the face of the earth? Take a glimpse into the truth of the past. You were never supposed to know.
So, did Genghis Khan's ancestors and the Tartarians really discover America? Was Tartaria a global civilization?
Forgotten maps. The journals of Marco Polo. Ancient structures. Evidence of advanced technology. Edge of Wonder brings you Tartaria.
During the break, Lindsay actually tried to tell me what that meant, and I let her know that that was a joke.
I mean, I totally knew you were joking about that, which is why I wasn't going to say anything, and then Lindsay thought we were being serious.
And, man.
This is what happens when you try to be nice.
Well, I mean, I mean, obviously we know what it means. So it's like you're trying to explain it. Obviously.
Poor Lindsay. She's so innocent.
It's funny.
I didn't know what it meant at first. So how do I know if you know?
But that's the whole joke. And that's even makes it even crazier that the media didn't even get.
It's like totally
making fun of the media. 100%.
So good. All right. So anyway, let's get into this FTX BS with Maxine Waters, who was tasked with investigating the disgraced FTX founder. But this unearthed video throws up a few red flags here. So, you know, Maxine Waters, Ben and I were talking about on version one of this live,
which we weren't live.
Yeah.
she
is probably one of the least credible people in how is this woman even in politics? I have no idea that she's one of the least credible women.
Honestly, how is Biden even our president?
We're literally living in a clown world. And anyway, so she's apparently tasked with investigating this. And we found some interesting things here. So can you show this video, Lindsay, of Maxine Waters blowing Bankman a kiss.
Yeah.
Highly interesting.
And you're watching it. So Bankman, you can see him on the right. He's standing in front of the tall dude right there.
He's the little guy.
Mm-hmm. With the hair. And she's literally blowing a kiss to him.
He looks like he...
And like everybody's just waving at him. Like he's dude, like this...
From behind, he looks like he just got off the set of the Goonies, is one of the little kids, and is in like the Senate, you know, blowing a kiss to Maxine Waters. Why doesn't Maxine have her mask on? Something's wrong here.
Yeah, and to prove, you know, and so she's the one investigating the FTX scandal, and to prove that there's some kind of connection here, Netflix documentary producers watching this FTX unfold, and it's like, I don't even know. But no, to prove that there's some connection here, and December of 2021, he made a post. You want to read this, Rob?
Okay, yeah. So was his name Steven Bankman Fried or whatever?
Sam.
A huge thanks to at Maxine Waters and at Patrick McHenry and the whole House Financial Services Committee for having us today to talk about the future of digital assets. The meeting was productive, and I'm really grateful for the engagement and thoughts from policymakers. Dated December 8th, 2021. That's almost a year from today.
Yeah. So, and guess who happened to be at that same meeting? Bill Clinton.
Oh, really? And
there's a photo of him on stage with Bill Clinton.
Somebody said, why is he wearing a backpack in the House chambers? I mean, this is exactly it. Like, he's like just walked off the set of the Goonies.
Yeah, seriously.
Strangest thing.
So, okay. So this is him after their speech. And there he is
back there.
And with Bill Clinton right there. And there's Tony Blair is there as well. So that's who's shaking the hands with, I think, Bill Clinton right there.
Did you say shaving the hands?
Did I say Bill Clinton shaving?
Is Bill Clinton's hand hairy? That hairy? Steven Bankman's might be.
Shaking.
I mean, Sam Bankman. Jeez. Sam Bankman Fried sand might be.
Yeah.
So, he's a very out of shape dude. Like
he's weird, man.
He's dressed like he's a 46-year-old dad that just had a bunch of kids.
But well, there's like all young. These rumors about who he really is and you know why they chose him. And then here he is on stage speaking at this event. And look, it's like, how does this even happen?
Like he's got the white New Balances on. Like this guy has got the dad vibe, like crazy. I mean,
it's so strange. Yeah, this gets weirder and weirder.
It's like he entered MIT dressing like this and never got the memo. Somebody just called it out. Gabe Zendar said he's got moobs. He does. Like, what's going on here?
It's so weird. It's really weird. And then to top everything off, New York Times was in a partnership with the WEF. And guess who the two of the speakers that were going to be there? Sam and Zelensky.
This is at WEF.
With New York Times partnership. So Sam was speaking with Zelensky, Zuckerberg, and the U.S. Treasurer, Janet Yellen. And there's a photo of this.
Wow. Like,
you can't make this stuff up. Like, how in the world is this guy so connected?
This was going to be at the end of November. That was going to be in a few days.
Yes. Yes. And then the guy that exposed this, you know, what we talked about Tuesday was killed. You know, he makes a tweet and says, they're going to go after me. Next day, they found him dead. You know,
guy from he was from the Eastern Europe somewhere, right?
Yeah. So, and then, you know, and everyone's comparing this with Bernie Madoff. So
Bernie Madoff.
We're presenting now is some of the stuff that came out later, you know, in the last couple of days that I've seen now. And it's just so insane. And
Bernie Madoff was that character that caused the housing bubble to burst back mm-hmm. in the day, right?
And this guy is responsible for the cryptocurrency crash, basically, after what the scandal that happened. And hundreds of millions of dollars are missing. And they found out that there was a massive withdrawal of about $400 million that he withdrew himself before all of this happened. So this is Sam did.
Right. So Sam, he withdrew how much?
Around 350 million. It's a little over 350 million.
Like, so he personally withdrew it, or did it go, like, so where is this guy?
Well, they said he's now been detained in the Bahamas, but I mean, they said, what does that mean exactly? You know, I mean, Maxine Walters is going to do the investigation. Most likely they'll bring him in the trial, say like, oh, okay, you're going to get some prison time. They're like, probably take him back to the Bahamas saying, this is where you're going to serve your term. And
it's his 39 million mansion that he's serving it in.
That's probably what's going to happen. Honestly, I wouldn't doubt it, because so what, and then, you know, today Epstein's trending. So I have a feeling that something is going on, and I think that, there's some connection.
There's some relation here.
There is definitely a connection with this, 100%. Mm. And then the Post-Millennial had an article, and so it was revealed that he was funding the rhinos to go against Trump, and that's what the Never Trump was. Yes.
And we talked about this the other day.
Yeah, we talked about this. But what we didn't mention is that he got $370,000, which I guess isn't a lot considering we're talking about millions, but still, that was $370,000 in taxpayers' dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got taxpayers' dollars to fund his venture that he's created. So it's just like, that is what we didn't talk about. So I don't know, man. This is so weird. And I think it's because there's so many people tied to this thing that it's like, I don't know what's going to happen overall, but it's weird stuff.
It is weird stuff. And I'm curious to see if anything happens. I mean, I don't think anything will really happen with Epstein, but it's very interesting. It's coming back up again. And I kind of want to see how it unfolds, you know?
Me too. So today the judge said because of public demand, they're going to release some documents, and it has 8 names in those documents. One of them is a hotel billionaire. So
like Hilton?
No, it's not Hilton. I actually don't know the name, but they were worried that it was going to affect their public image. That was a direct quote.
Hmm.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have gotten involved with Epstein then, you know.
Maybe you shouldn't have hired a guy who eats too much soy and never graduated from, you know, New Balances.
Yeah. So, okay, what is this, Lindsay?
So somebody wrote on Twitter that 9 years ago, when the crypto fraudster SBF FTX was 19, his mother, a Stanford professor, wrote a very long article making the case that free will is a myth, and that we should not blame people for committing crimes.
That's crazy.
Can you, sorry, go back to that tweet? I kind of want to read, I kind of want to keep reading.
This is Bankman's mother, who's a Stanford professor. She wrote a long article saying free will is a myth and we shouldn't blame people for committing crimes.
Is that a picture of her mother right there, Michael Schellenberger? Because it looks kind of manly.
No, I don't even know what that is.
This is the article from Boston Review. From That's 2013.
Crazy stuff. And by the way, so that guy's name, the billionaire, is Tom Pritzker, and he is the chairman of the Hyatt Hotels.
Oh, it's Hyatt. That's mm-hmm. it.
So, yes. Lawyers for him are arguing that it would wrongfully affect his privacy and reputation. And it's like, well, you got involved with Epstein. I don't know what you expect there.
When your friend starts driving at 150 miles per hour and says, I had all my funds on FTX, bro.
That's pretty scary. that Habula? I forget that.
I can never remember his name. Yeah,
pretty funny stuff. All right, so man who lost everything in crypto just wishes several thousand more people had warned him.
Up to that's a Babylon Bee classic right there.
Yeah,
I think this is The Onion.
Oh, that's good. They did good that one.
That is The Onion. Okay, I'm surprised. They haven't been around in a while, it seems like. All right, so maybe
that article was their comeback article, Ben.
there we go. We'll see. All right, so let's see. We can talk about like Carrie Lake and Trump. I mean, there's some more things, but we got to kind of move on. And
are we going to get into Carrie Lake and Trump now?
Or we could go on to Pelosi.
You mean there's nothing to talk about? She's out.
Well, there's new information about the attack.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's fascinating.
Well, the main thing is, should we just cover the Carrie Lake Trump stuff real quick?
Yeah, let's do that real quick.
All right. So the main thing is this. So Carrie Lake, the big news there is that Carrie Lake has organized a very capable legal team, and she plans on trying to legally fight the really pathetic election issues that are going on in Arizona right now that everybody was affected by. All the machines shutting down, all the stuff they called out, they were called conspiracy theorists for it. It all happened. So she's organized the legal team, and they're, of course, having trouble because all of these judges are not real judges, be quite frank. But more interestingly, Carrie Lake was seen recently in a dinner here with the big guy on the left, that is Trump. So,
and
so the rumors are going around that we may have Carrie Lake running with Trump for the 2024 election, and that would be fantastic if she did. She's great, both of them. Both of them have been extremely affected by election fraud, and it seems like a really good combination.
Yeah, and the girl in the center in the blue, that's
Hillary Clinton.
No, Linda McMahon. She's the wife of Vince McMahon. He stepped down now, but he was like the owner of WWE wrestling. So that's his wife. And then when
Vince McMahon's wife?
Yeah. And when Trump was president, he appointed her as the small business head person. And I got to meet her in person.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went to an event where she was speaking, and that was when I was working in it for Epic Times, and I was a photographer, and I took photos of her and everything. And she had a lot of compliments to say about Epic Times, and I think even the photos that I took. So.
Well, you know, Vince McMahon and Trump have been longtime friends. I mean, Trump's been on WWE, he's so supportive of like sports and sports events and stuff. Yeah. He always has been.
Now, Vince McMahon is a little bit crazy. You know, I'm not trying to back him and
actually, so
he did, but
okay. So Vince McMahon, I mean, just recently, you know, there's been claims of some, you know, with women in the WWE against Vince, right? But you know, he's one of these guys, these like old schooler billionaires that effectively ran a company for as long as he did. And yeah, they were friends, I guess. And who knows? I mean, putting McMahon in there, like maybe she's going to do some good. So that's good.
It would be, I mean, I think obviously the three of them having a conversation is really important, but I think that the fact that Carrie was there, you know, that's where it's interesting because everyone assumed that he was going to choose Ron, but with this whole thing with him and Ron now, Carrie.
Ron dissed him. I said Ron kind of dissed him, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But it's like, you know, Ron just, I don't think he really understands Trump if he says, oh, you're old and you should step down. Like,
Yeah, I just hope that they don't run against each other for the Republican Party.
I don't think they would. Maybe, you know what though? They could, because if DeSantis was capable of like not understanding and saying that stuff, he may want to run against him. But if it's Trump with Carrie Lake, like there is no one DeSantis could bring on that's gonna like just wait 4 years.
That's so true. And like, Carrie is such.
You know, DeSantis so is awesome. Young. This is the thing, you know, if he ran with Trump, he could have been a shoo-in for the next president. And here he is, like, now he has to, like, he's probably gonna have to wait 4 years, because there's no way that anyone is gonna outdo Trump and Carrie Lake if those two run together. No way. It's like a dream team.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
And the cool thing about Carrie Lake is Carrie Lake can fill in for the problems that Trump has in orating. Carrie Lake is she's like the anti-Obama. Like her oration is like better than Obama's, and she's a conservative woman on the right side of history. You get her with Trump, she can balance out all of Trump's shortcomings, and it would be a so much stronger relationship than Trump and Pence. You know, like if you think about it, like she's what Trump needs even more than DeSantis is, you know?
Mm-hmm. 100% agree. 100%. So it'll be really interesting. I hope that's what happens, but you know, so with Carrie Lake, I mean, they like, fighting tooth and nail to steal this election from her in Arizona, because you know she's trying to be the governor there. And when you look at, and then Katie Hobbs, who's for the Democrats, she was responsible for looking over the ballots and the count. It's like, how can someone who's running be in charge of looking at this? Like that should be illegal.
No, how is that even possible?
Like if that was the opposite and Carrie Lake was overseeing that, like, oh my God, Biden would be like talking about it every single day. If he could form a sentence,
he would be, I was going to say he'd be blabbering about it. Maybe. Dude, I keep seeing that one clip of him on 60 Minutes when he's asked, like, do you feel like you're focused? His response for the next minute and a half is like the most unfocused response anyone's ever heard in history. It's great.
It's so crazy. So crazy.
You know, like I give a lot of credit to Carrie Lake, like just watching her public statements after all the debacle in Arizona. Like Carrie Lake is an example of like a human being that gives me hope in humanity. Like
yeah, I agree.
Trump too, in a way, because it's like they're getting hit by the same thing we're getting hit, but they're not getting knocked down, and they seem emotionally sort of unfazed and calm, and like they're being like adults about it. You know, like honestly, how many of us with everything that's going on, the way that it's been going on for them, would be as composed as they are on camera? Like we would want to say something, or we would just like throw our cupcake at the window and walk away and be like, I'm done with this, you know, and they're not handling it that way. And it's like, it's seldom that you see some people doing some things and making decisions that like, I almost feel like I can learn from, you know, it's nice to see, honestly, like regardless of what's going on, good for them, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. All right, we have to play a trailer, and then when we get back, we'll get into China. And
well, you guys, you're in for it, because speaking of swamp creatures, like our politicians, Ben and I have done a bunch of episodes on different cryptids or paranormal beings. No, we're not talking about Joe Biden. We have episodes on dragons, the Jersey Devil, Mothman, and a whole series going into cryptids of the seas, like the Kraken, Loch Ness Monster, and more. So subscribe to Rise TV to see all of them. But for now, here's a trailer on The Mothman.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Mothman? Meet the mysterious gray cryptid, the size of a man with the wings of a bat and glowing red eyes. But is it real? There have been sightings since the 60s, or did it all start with the dying man's curse? Alternate dimensions. Sudden appearances before catastrophic events. Native American wars, Chernobyl, and 9/11. Holy Wingspan, Mothman, the center of this creature's mystery is something beyond imagination. Join us as we look into one of the most fascinating cryptids that may be out there and ask, why do residents of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, swear that it haunts our skies to this very day? Tales of the Cryptids, Episode 3, Mothman. Only on edgeofwonder.tv.
I'm Batman.
Well, you guys, you can find that along with so many of our series on over on Rise TV. And for those of us watching us on Rumble, maybe even for the first time, please subscribe to our channel on Rumble. And you definitely want to subscribe to our Rise TV, where we have all of our produced shows and completely uncensored on our own platform. So check it out if you haven't. All right. So, man, there's a lot to talk about, but we kind of lost like a half hour today. So. But I think
we Ben.
Yeah, well, we could get into a little bit. Well, okay, there's just some brief, I mean, it's just some updates with Pelosi, because so especially with the attack. So this is totally insane what happened. But so Not the Bee has this really funny headline. They're like, Pelosi attack story keeps getting weirder and weirder. So according to the San Francisco Sheriff's Department, they said that someone pretending to be a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent went to try to talk to that David, the attacker, David DiPepe.
Okay.
And they said that, you know, the person was fake and he only presented a business card. So obviously they turned him away. However, an ICE official told Fox News that a real agent under the Enforcement and Removal Operations Department not only attempted to conduct an in-person interview, but also had official government ID. And they even introduced themselves, presented all the correct and full credentials that they have. They turned her away because they said that it was fake.
So this is it, Pelosi?
Well, you know, well, this is about Paul Pelosi, right?
The attacker.
So this is about, you know, they wanted to talk to Dave, David DiPepe, the attacker.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went there.
I see.
Talked to him, but then the San Francisco Sheriff Department said that when they were talking to the media, they said the person pretended to be from the U.S. Immigration and Customs, but then they were like, they didn't have the right credentials and they were fake. Now, if you falsify being some kind of law official, law enforcement,
yeah, that's a federal offense.
That is a federal offense.
Yeah, that's like
immediately thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Prison and everything. So the fact that they just turned him away. And then ICE officially came out with a statement saying, no, we sent somebody there. They got turned away. They had all the right credentials. So it's like, this just gets weirder and weirder. And then, yeah. And then this like watchdog. So to make even things more weird, this watchdog asked for very specific records. It was a judicial watchdog related to the attack. And they were being refused to get any of this information. And they wanted specifically like videos and evidence why no one was watching the cameras. Like, you know, you have 24 security cameras. You have cameras at the, you know, in DC, the Capitol Police had cameras. Like, there were cameras everywhere, but it contradicts the story. And then a news reporter for NBC got fired because his original report was saying that Paul Pelosi let the police in. Like, he opened the door for the police, which then contradicts the entire massive story.
So right.
It's like, no one has any idea what is really truly going on. So anyway, it's super weird stuff. And so now, like, you know, Nancy Pelosi is like, because now the great thing is, which honestly, I have to say, I'm kind of shocked about, the GOP, the Republican Party, won the House. So Nancy Pelosi is officially fired. Well, maybe not officially yet, but
that really doesn't mean anything, because there's so many Republicans that are rhinos. Like, what Republican is not a part of the cabal is the question. Like, we have to get away from this Republican versus Democrat thing. It's not even
100%.
It's like
100%.
It's whether or not you're involved in their agenda is what we need to look at. So there is no party that can, like, it's not even worth creating a new party, because it's still going to come down to the same thing. Is the person a part of it or not? You know, at first it was the Republican Party a part of it. Then it became the Democratic Party that was a part of it. And now it's just like, are they paid off? Is there something hanging over them? Are they being blackmailed? What is it?
Right. Well, like, to give a perfect example, the last speaker was Paul Ryan, who was serving under Trump, and he was for the Republican Party, but he was one of the ones that was like downplaying all the investigations, didn't really put anything forward, you know. And at first he was kind of supporting it, then all of a sudden he backtracked, and then everyone was like, dude, what do they have on him? You know, obviously they have something on him, and he like backtracked on the whole thing. So, you know, you're right. But from one perspective, though, it is kind of cool, the fact that, you know, the Democrats did kind of lose that. I'm just glad Nancy Pelosi is no longer the head of the House, because she's honestly, you know, third in line to be president after Biden and Harris. So the fact that she's gone now, and, you know, that's kind of a good thing. I don't know the process of who would get elected or how that works. I kind of forget now. I don't know if the House elects their own person or if the president does. I kind of forget how.
No, it's the senior member of the Republican part of that House, like whoever is the most senior person is the one that gets put in, I think.
Okay.
That's the speaker.
I kind of forget how it works. So that's very interesting. So yeah, interesting stuff. So anyway, that's kind of like the updates of Pelosi craziness. So I still can't get over this whole attack thing, you know, and I think they're trying to forget about it now. Like, oh, can we move on? And then the media is like, no, or like, you know, certain people are like, no, this still doesn't make sense.
I kind of feel like one of the weaknesses, or that something that should have been like written into the Constitution at the beginning, is that each state should have had its own military, not federal.
Interesting.
Because look at what's going on right now. Like, if something needs to happen, like if the states had their own military and the governor was a smart guy, like, think about it, Texas, Florida, Arizona, well, not Arizona anymore, but the red states could be some of the most like powerful states, and then they would be able to protect from outside federal interference, and they can't do that right now. Like, what can Abbott do other than be like, hey, can you send some people down here to help us with the border? Or, you know, it's like all that stuff is federal stuff. And like, if the Joker in office is a knucklehead, then what are you going to do? I mean, much. What Abbott's doing, which is very little, and then all like hundreds of thousands of people are like running in here, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I guess we'll see what happens with that whole thing, but yeah,
or we won't. True.
Or we won't see what happened with that whole thing. And, yeah, guess we'll. But you're absolutely right, though.
What's this? Miguel Almaguer not getting public support from NBC.
Oh, so he's the guy that got fired for bringing it up on air live, and he just. I mean, he
bringing what up on air?
The fact that he said that Paul Pelosi let the police in, and then
he got fired for it.
Fired him, and he's just like reporting. I mean, he's basically reporting what the police are saying, and they fired him over it. So, and then, you know, because the original, that was what the original report said. That's why it's so confusing, because everything is contradicting each other. Paul Pelosi's statements contradicts what the police report originally said. Then on top of that, you don't have any security cameras working. Then it's like the statement was changed later. Then it's like no one really knows what's going on with this David guy. You know, they said he was this right-wing extremist, which obviously he wasn't, when he clearly had anti-capitalist stuff on his van and supporting the leftist agenda. You know, so it's like he had stickers. He had the banner for the American flag of the rainbow American flag and Black Lives Matter on his windows. And it's like, clearly this dude was not a right-wing extremist, you know? So it's just, the whole narrative just contradicts itself. And I think they're just really trying to sweep this under the rug. And then this all happened right before the FTX thing. So I don't know. I'm kind of like half wondering if all of this is connected, but all right, why don't we talk about China before we, because this is, I feel like this is kind of important, this whole thing with Justin Trudeau and Xi Jinping. And I love how Not the Bee calls him Emperor Xi.
yeah, you guys watch this interaction between Xi Jinping. You have to read the captions too.
Oh, there's no captions here.
This is not a good video.
This is not a good video, actually. There are captions for this. You can't really hear what's being said.
Yeah, just shut this off. Not even worth watching. We need to find the one with the captions. So it's even easier for us to explain what was going on here.
Darn it. I thought that was the one that had it. So... all right, we'll keep
looking. Basically, Xi Jinping is sort of admonishing Justin Trudeau. There was apparently, here it is. She says, everything we discussed has been leaked to the papers, and that's not appropriate. That's not the way conversation was conducted, if there is sincerity on your part. He says, well, I do believe in free and open, frank dialogue we will continue to have. And we will continue to work constructively together. This is Justin Trudeau, if that wasn't clear. But there will be things we will disagree on and we will have to. And then he said, let's create the conditions first, meaning probably privacy. Mm-hmm. So then afterwards...
I found the video, actually.
Okay.
That has
the caption. It's interesting to watch the video, and it's interesting to watch Justin Trudeau walk away, because it seems he seems very uncomfortable.
Yeah, so Lindsay, if you can play the other one. And actually, I mean, it's more of the... there's so much going on in this video, actually, and it doesn't look like it on the surface. Oh, weird. I guess it is playing. It's just cutting it off on our... Oh, no,
here we go. Everything we discussed has been leaked to paper. That's not appropriate.
And that's not all the way.
And that's not how the conversation is.
If there is Trudeau says, we believe in free and open and frank dialogue, and that is what we'll continue to have. We will continue to look to work constructively together, but there will be things that we will disagree on.
Let's create the conditions first.
That's great, the conditions first. And then he shakes his hand, and then look at Trudeau walking away. And he's just like waddling like a penguin. It's so weird. And then he just kind of like disappears and runs away. What? Well, actually, Rob, do you want to go first?
Well, I think what's interesting is, China is very, very secretive about things, right? And they don't. So what a Westerner will normally just talk about happening, Chinese people will often be like, there are cultural things that they take very seriously that Westerners are completely oblivious about, like how you handle business in Hong Kong and in China is extremely different than in the West. So mm-hmm. Justin Trudeau just being, even though he's like extremely socialist, him just talking openly about something that happened or him and she having a discussion could have really set Xi off if he was under the impression that it was supposed to be a secretive or a private conversation. And so him having words with him in public, that's also not something very simple, because the way the Chinese folks work is if you do something in public like that with cameras around, you're doing it for a reason. You want them to be put in an uncomfortable situation, and almost you're making it harder for them on purpose. And so there's many things going on. Like, that was a power move that Xi Jinping just made on Justin. And you can see by Justin Trudeau's reaction that, you know, he doesn't wear the pants in that family by the way that he walked away. But anyway, Ben, what do you think?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, obviously what's going on here from another perspective is that she knows that the cameras are recording this conversation. And, you know, if this was kind of like, he could have very easily went behind the scenes somewhere and said, yo, I need to talk to you, and like talk to him. Right. But Xi Jinping talked to him out in the open with all these cameras around. He wanted to show this. He wanted the attention. He knew that everybody was going to be talking about this. And he was literally pointing at him. And this is like, you're right. This was a very bold move on Xi's part to you know, really stress, like, I am not happy with you, and I'm letting the whole entire world know that I'm not happy with you. And Justin is very, very nervous, as you can see. I mean, I think that's why he ran off, because he knows he's being recorded. He knows, like, all of this is happening.
Yeah, he lost face.
He completely did. And I mean, most likely, if he wasn't Justin and had his position in somewhere else, like, he might have gotten taken out or arrested or disappeared, or, you know, who knows? So, you know, and I think obviously they, like, he's been bending over backwards for China for so long. And that's where, oh my God, there's, you know, because there's so many Chinese people that we know that are from Canada or still live in Canada that came over. Some of them escaped communism, and others have like gone over there. The Confucius Institute, they kind of stopped a lot of those from happening in the US, but they came with open arms in Canada. And Chinese CCP, I should say, not just Chinese, but the Chinese CCP has really taken over a lot of Canada now. And I think that he's just being controlled.
He's their BITCH, you know,
that was the exact word that came to my mind.
Probably went back to his hotel room and had his dominatrix do crazy things to him. That's all I have to say about that.
I would probably agree with that. And, you know, and it's like, he can't, I mean, he's not doing anything on his own anyway. Everything that Trudeau is doing is he's just completely being told what to do. He doesn't even have, like, he has no control. I mean, he was basically put there as a puppet to give them, you know, it's like, hey, we want you to do this, you know? And I think that Xi Jinping now probably backtracked on some of the business deals they had, and he probably got a little upset by it, because it's like, hey, this isn't what we agreed. It's like Darth Vader, you know, it's like, hey, this isn't what we agreed with. And it's like, you have a problem with that? Yeah. You're gonna do something about it,
you know? Like,
pray that I don't change this anymore, you know. Yeah. So I think honestly that's probably what happened, and so I guarantee you he's probably upset, but I don't know if there's really anything.
He's back in his hotel room.
Yeah, and it's one of two things: either he will bow down even more and just, you know, take it, or he might get upset and kind of start fighting back a little bit, you know, but we'll see what happens with this.
Now, does Justin Trudeau seem like the type of guy that fights back on stuff? Definitely. That dude went and hid in a cabin when all that stuff was going down with the convoy.
It's so true.
And then they literally used communist tactics in their country to jail people for their right to protest. Like, that country is seriously whacked out. I mean, our country is too, but whacked out nonetheless. All right, well, really? We probably should get over to Rise.tv right now, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we probably should. Yeah, because we kind of lost some time, we're going to do the dig deep, but we'll just kind of answer a couple of questions and then get into weirder news. And yeah, we'll skip some of them. We can do them later next time.
All right, you guys. Well, with the FTX scandal heating up, Trump, Kerry Lake, and politics dominating the airwaves, not dominating in the way that Justin Trudeau is, but, you know, we got global news leaving everyone exhausted. I think it's about time to change gears to something more fun. We're about to leave Rumble and head over to Rise.tv for a dig deep Q&A where we'll go over deep philosophical, spiritual, and whatever questions you guys have for us. Then we'll finish out the show with y'all's favorite part of Friday Night Live, the top probably five weirder news. I don't know if we're going to get
well, actually, they're all pretty short. We could probably get through them all in 15 minutes.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, you guys, tonight you're going to hear stories about Area 51, a sea monster caught on tape, Bigfoot, strange animals, and more real news that we couldn't actually believe. And that will definitely have you laughing at the end of a long, tiring week. So subscribe to Rise.tv for just $9.99 a month and support our work. Remember that your support, it allows us to keep doing these shows, and we're really thankful for all of our awesome and hilarious Rise TV community. So check out this trailer on Aleister Crowley's Loch Ness Monster Rituals, or Loch Ness Rituals, rather, and then come over to Rise.tv.
Monsters of the seas were long thought to be myths. But some magic hunters sought power for themselves, believing that old legends held secret truths. Why did the famous occultist Aleister Crowley make his home on Loch Ness, which later became famous for its elusive creature? Why are there so many paranormal sightings in the area? What other creatures of the deep have been spotted in Scotland that are largely ignored or considered local folktales? The human mind enjoys impressive visions of unearthly creatures. Now then, the sea is precisely their best medium, the only setting suitable for the breeding and growing of such giants, next to which such land animals as elephants or rhinoceroses are mere dwarves. Find out what creatures may be a lot closer than 20,000 leagues under the sea. Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.
Mm-hmm.